Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefrey, and this is episode number 203. I want to thank you guys for listening each week and really appreciate those of you that share this on social media and write ratings and reviews on iTunes, as that helps me help as many coaches as I possibly can. Also want to thank our sponsors, and specifically VersaPulley for sponsoring this episode. As you guys know, I only partner with brands that I believe in, and VersaPulley is definitely one that I do. I have their product in my garage, and with all the eccentric flywheel training and stuff that's going out there and all the popularity of that, I think it's just a very versatile piece that adds a great resistance option for you in your own training. And so I would encourage you, if you're in the market, to reach out to VersaPulley. If not, reach out to them and just tell them how much you appreciate them supporting the show and helping bring this to you each and every week for free. This week, super excited to be joined by Kendall Rutherford from Sydney, Australia. We got a chance to meet. I've learned of him from afar for several years, but we finally got a chance to meet while we were down for the Sydney Summit, and it was great just having a chance to talk to him briefly. But he owns and is the director of Lift Performance Center. He does business coaching. He's a lecturer. He's with the Pollockin Group. He's lectured for Level Up and a handful of other organizations, but just a great guy doing some big things down in Australia. And so wanted to have him on the show. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Thank you very much, Ron. It's great to be on the show.
Okay, well, everybody has kind of an origin story as to why they got into strength and conditioning. What was it for you? Take us back to that specific time that you were like, you know what, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life.
Yeah, okay. The origin story for me is that I saw strength and conditioning as the pinnacle of our profession. I actually started off as a personal trainer in a busy commercial gym, and I wanted to be all I could be. My intention was to get as good as I possibly could. And I think what happens is there was a bit of a shift in mindset for me when I went from looking at how to make people generally fit and lean and healthy and happy to how can I make people specifically fit for a purpose, for a sport. And that for me was very exciting because it was a polar shift from the general training mentality. And so for me, strength and conditioning really was the apex, and that's where I started heading.
You know, you've had a variety of experiences. I mean, as an athlete and then obviously working in the commercial gyms and now kind of progressing to owning your own facility and all that. What specific experience in your background kind of do you lean on to say, this is what defined me as a coach?
I think, things that define you, it's a broad range of experiences, but my own personal love for resistance training and how it made me feel and how I was able to integrate that and see my, feel myself improving in other areas of my athleticism. In Australia, strength and conditioning is a relatively new profession, as it is all around the world. And so we only recently has the Australian government changed their recommendations for people to train to include two resistance training sessions a week in their kind of health and well-being regime. And so I feel like I was there when we moved from the general training sort of paradigm where it was 30-minute cardio sessions a week and that sort of stuff. And, my own personal experience was that getting stronger and including resistance training helped me stave off injuries, changed my, my feeling of self-esteem, and it changed my athleticism dramatically. And so I was hooked, obviously, like most of us who grew up watching, 80s, 80s action flicks. I was also hooked on the changing in the physique. Sure. And the appearance and all that sort of stuff. And so, I think that it's a culmination of different things, but I certainly believe I was part of that generation who was heavily influenced by that. And then including it in my own life certainly was a very positive influence on me. And so that was a big change for me in terms of mindset towards the profession.
Yeah, it's great. You mentioned that, strength and conditioning is relatively new, not just in Australia, but around the world. But the idea of sports performance centers is relatively new in Australia. There's just not,
Oh, very
mostly
much so.
because of the academy system and different things like that. It just isn't something that has been very popular. You've kind of stepped out in a big way. You're running a successful one there. And what was your reasoning behind opening, Lift Performance Center, but also how have you been able to position yourself amongst that kind of academy setting, sports setting, where it's kind of been looked at in a different way?
Yeah, I think it was a big leap of faith, as it is with any small business, particularly when the upfront capital investment is high, as it is in a performance gym. It's much higher than a standard gym. And I was sort of betting that I was reading the trends well, in the fact that people were interested in this world of sports performance and this world of barbell related sports and high performance athletics, but nowhere really was there a great facility that was specific for that. In Sydney, there are a lot of great. I mean, we have this kind of weird melting pot in Sydney, or in New South Wales, I should say, where we have a population of health conscious people who love to train, who are happy to pay for a personal trainer. And we've got a lot of very bright, well-paid personal trainers in New South Wales. And I think last time I read some papers on this, that we have one of the highest per capita of gyms in the world. So we have this kind of evolutionary pressure, I guess you could call it, in New South Wales, where you get a lot of really good coaches. And so really good coaches get together and are always looking at what's contemporary in our field. And I think, for us here in Australia, what's becoming more contemporary is this sports performance approach, taking what is working and what is popular and what is contemporary worldwide, and then applying it not only to the athletic population, but then, of course, you get your weekend warriors and your average Joe Blows, or your people that work through the week and maybe they're in an amateur sport, but they're past their kind of formative years, and they're getting into involving some of this high-end sports performance stuff into their training regime. And so they want facilities that can accommodate that. And so for
Sure.
me, stepping out, setting up a sports performance facility in New South Wales was a bit of a risk and was a bit of a leap of faith, but it paid off in the fact that people, thankfully at the time, were looking for somewhere like that, and we were able to fill that niche.
Absolutely. Well, whenever you go as a small business owner or a young strength coach, you make tons of mistakes. What's
Yes.
maybe the biggest mistake that you've made and kind of how you learn from it?
I think there was a bit of a shift in mindset for me in terms of mistakes when I started actually listening more than talking. I think when you focus yourself on education and you focus yourself on being across as much information as possible so that you can provide a great service, one of the traps that you can fall into in a young coach is that you over-deliver all the time. And part of that means that you're always talking. You're always saying, this is what we need to achieve. These are my terrific, stats. This is my great resume. This is why I'm so terrific. This is what you need to do because I'm telling you need to do this. And this is all the studies and blah, 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 blah. And what sometimes can be lost when you start to go down that path is not only do you stop listening, but you can blindly blast past areas that require a little bit more attention and a little bit more listening, a little bit less talking. So probably the biggest mistake I made as a young coach is thinking that I probably knew a little bit more than I did, or I knew a lot, but I was more interested in talking than actually listening and finding solutions. And so yeah, the listening instead of talking was probably the biggest one for me as a young coach.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's very common in the strength and conditioning community is just, you get out and you have all the answers, and then once you get
Exactly.
some wisdom and some experience, you realize you're just now starting to ask the right questions, let alone have all the right
Exactly.
answers, and I couldn't agree with you more on that. There's a lot of parallels between being a business owner and being a strength coach and somebody that, does some business coaching with other people. What are some of those parallels that you learn in business that could be applied to coaching?
Yeah, I think probably one of the biggest ones is doing the basics exceptionally well. And this is a concept that I take with me everywhere and that I try and impart as often as I can with my coach, with my employees and with my coaches and with my students, is fantastic coaching, top of the line, expert, high performance coaching, in my opinion, is doing the basics exceptionally well. And being able to inspire and impart that on your athlete is probably one of the biggest skills. You know, that emotional EQ, as they call it, that kind of emotional intelligence, being able to inspire your athlete to want to jump on that. That's probably the biggest take home for me.
You know, you've lectured for Poliquin and some different groups, but I mean, obviously with Charles Poliquin and his style and philosophy of training, you know, whenever you've done that, you know, obviously you agree with it, you identify with it and things along those lines, but how do you as a coach stay open-minded to other philosophies and other tools and other methods?
Yeah, I think a sign of intelligence is being able to hold two vastly different thoughts in your head at the same time, and to acknowledge their relevance and to acknowledge their usefulness. As I was saying before, you know, I think it's very easy to go down the path where you become the super knowledgeable person, the walking encyclopedia. But you can lose a lot if you go down too far down that path. So whilst my introduction and my early influences and early mentors had a huge influence on me, I'm fortunate in the fact that I now have learnt from such a broad range of people and read such a broad range and been to so many courses and fantastic seminars like the one you put on just recently, that I'm able to learn what is important and discard the things that aren't really for me and use what I really like and come up with my own sort of approach to things. I think probably one of the biggest things that Charles Poliquin gave me as a mentor was to really explore and learn. It wasn't so much about this is the information. It was about go out and find the information, learn how to learn. That was probably the biggest and most poignant thing that I got from Charles as a mentor.
Oh, that's great. Learn how to learn. I love that. Whenever you're in business or you open your own facility or you're a strength coach and you're trying to stand out from the pack, I talk about this quite a bit, that you have to have your own unique selling proposition. What makes you different than everybody else? You know, what would you say is different about your gym than, you know, obviously there's not as much competition in Australia, but around the world, you know, what separates your facility from other sports performance facilities around the world?
Yeah, I think all of it starts with your own philosophies and your own ethos towards training. And whilst my facility is a sports performance facility, it's built specifically like that. We have general members, and so we have to make sure that we're very inclusive and welcoming to general members and local population who want to come in and just be around the athletes, be around the kind of environment, and utilize the pieces of equipment because it's interesting, right, and it's different. So having a unique point of difference, I think, starts with the why. It starts with what it is that I'm trying to achieve and what my sort of story is. And the gym is really an extension of myself. It's a very it's a personal business. I'm the sole owner. I'm 100% owner. And so I built the place very much with my training philosophies in mind. Mm-hmm. And so our point of differences come from my philosophies, which is to remove the distractions from gyms. I believe commercial gyms have a huge amount of distractions in them. And I think that is a negative, when it comes to training, particularly when it comes to training for athletic purposes, because you need to be able to focus on what you're doing. One of the distractions I remove from my gym is mirrors. Another one is television, and I'm not a fan of loud music. I have the music quite low. In fact, it's about 50-odd decibels, so that the coach can still talk without having to raise their voice to the athlete. I believe fitness and health, in particular resistance training, is inclusive. I'm not one of those people that sort of looks down on people that aren't, you know, squatting 200 kilos or, you know, 6% body fat. I think being as inclusive and being as welcoming as possible is hugely important, because resistance training really is such a healthy thing that everyone can make a part of their life, no matter what age. And I don't ever want people to feel as though they can't come in and do their own kind of style of resistance training and feel totally comfortable without being judged. Those are probably two of the bigger points that I have. And the last one is just the community. Whether you're a pro athlete, whether you're a young guy from down the road who's never lifted a weight, you want to feel as though you belong. And I think we all have that little child inside of us that want to know we're in the right place.
Right.
Regardless how big or badass you are, you know, at some point you want to just feel like you're home. You feel like you're welcome. And I think if you can really nail that, not just in business but also in professional athletics, the buy-in you get, the community you get, the loyal customers and the people who will follow you regardless of the price and regardless of the costs involved or the, you know, other extenuating factors. They'll drive, you know, from the other side of town just because they really follow you and love what you're doing. And so I think, you know, that's some of the key differentiators that we try and have. And a lot of those just come from my own philosophies towards, you know, resistance training.
Sure. Well, you mentioned a lot of different groups there, you know, from general population to a variety of sports to maybe tactical or whatever. You know, how do you, you know, what's a typical training session look like for you? I mean, is there kind of a base program and then you specify around that, or is there kind of an individual program for everybody that walks in?
It's an individual program for everyone that walks in. And I'll tell you why, because we have a powerlifting group. We're affiliated with Powerlifting Australia. We host powerlifting competitions about six a year. They're called Top Lifter competitions.
Well, there you go.
shameless plug. We have obviously very different training for the powerlifters that we would have for the weightlifters. We're affiliated with New South Wales Weightlifting. Again, we host weightlifting competitions at the gym, and what they do is also very different. And so in a weightlifting group that meets, let's say, at 5:30 in the afternoon, we might have a few beginners, a few intermediate, and a few advanced, and a few people prepping for competition. And so they need to be, you know, on vastly different programs and have different focuses. We have a gymnastics club, which is called the Redfern Handstand Club, which is, again, it's a group of people who come in with a very specific purpose, and so their programming is different. And then in my coaches, I have everyone from, you know, one of the best physique coaches in Australia, his name is Rawdon Dubois, right through to strongman coaches, powerlifting coaches, weightlifting coaches, people that specify in various areas. So we have to be able to cater for the bodybuilders. We have to be able to cater for the pro athletes who come in who need very specific strength conditioning. And I suppose that's my bread and butter. So a typical session for me is, you know, I guess my style is that I like to try and keep things athletic. And so for me, where they need to win is on the track, on the field. And so, you know, my philosophies are, let's never lose sight of the fact that what they're doing in the rates room is to support that. And, you know, chasing a 1RM squat, if it's not purposeful, or chasing a 1RM power clean, if it's not purposeful to their sport, or in fact detrimental or particularly risky for their sport, you know, in those cases, we're losing focus. And I think as a strength coach, it's easy to do that. So the programs are all vastly different, and everybody's I try and encourage my coaches to have their own individuality, try and encourage them to really push their own flavor, because I don't want a gym where everyone has the same flavor.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I suppose in answer to your question, that the population is very broad, and we have everyone from little old ladies that are just doing some mobility, for instance, with one of our gymnastics coaches, right through to a couple powerlifters in the next room sniffing salts and getting after it on a heavy bar.
That's awesome. It's got to be a great environment.
It is. It is. It's strangely, everyone gets along really well.
I bet they do. Well, yeah. I think that, you know, so much of what you said there hits with me, where, you know, as strength coaches, you know, we have to remove a lot of the noise. You know, there's so much information out there that we have to pare it down into what's pertinent to our situation. And that changes through the seasons of our life, you know, but you've done that just in your gym, where you're paring down to removing the distractions to what's specific in that moment. And I think that that's such a great take home message for everybody listening. Kale, we end the show with some resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
If you didn't take a photo of it, it never happened. It's become more relevant in this day and age. It wasn't always relevant, but, you know, so much of what we do is our ability to influence other people vicariously through our successes in our coaching career. And it's really a lot easier to have a presence on social media, to have a, you know, a booklet of testimonials and positive experiences if you've actually got imagery to go along with it. So I try and carry my camera around with me a lot these days try and take snaps and videos of things that are happening so that I have actual, you know, references and proof. Exactly, documentation.
No, I agree with that 100%. It's sad that that's the case, but yeah. I think it's, and I've seen you do this, and so that's why I bring it up. But you know, guys that are real, coaches that are real, they'll document the good with the bad. You know, I've put out my failures, I've put out successes, and you know, and you're right, in a sea of social media where everybody's just posting the good, it's refreshing to see some of the bad be posted too, you know, and some of the things that we need to work on.
It's also really powerful to be able to show an athlete where they've come from as well. I think it's hugely powerful to be able to show an athlete where they started with an overhead squat, for instance, with the dowel rod, and then 6 months later to give them the footage of them doing something again. So I think it ticks a lot of boxes for me. I believe that that's helped me, and certainly something I try and focus on more recently.
Give us a book, app, and website recommendation.
Yeah, so I'm a fan of a book that I read recently by Eric Greitens called Resilience. I think it's a terrific book. I think it's great for athletes. An app that I'm using a lot at the moment for my online training services, which I really love, is an app called Trainerize, which is a great app for you to be able to program for your athletes and for them to have it pop up in their phone. I actually have a bit of a belief, I suppose, that over the next 5 years, if you don't have an app, you know, you're going to be sort of struggling. If you're not mobile-based and app-savvy, you're going to be struggling in business. I've been enjoying strengthconditioning.com with Chris Beasley. You know, he just puts out so much terrific content, and it's they're factoids that are easy for me to consume and apply in what I do, and so I really appreciate him and really enjoy that. He has online stuff, Facebook and Instagram as well, and it's all really terrific.
I couldn't agree with you more. Well, man, it's been fun having you on the show. I think it's refreshing, and again, it's always, you know, it's great when you connect with people even halfway around the world that you just know are genuine, authentic people that do it the right way, and that rings true for you from the moment that you meet you, and you're just going to go about your business the way that you do it. And I think that's the right way. So I appreciate you being on the show. You know, on your way out here, let everybody know where's the best way for them to keep up with you, be it social media, your website, or anything.
Sure. So I have a website called coachcato.com where I post my blogs. My Facebook and my Instagram are very active. And I'm always posting up videos and references to my articles and various other things. So through the Coach Cato network, that's good. And my gym, of course, is Lift Performance Center. Again, we have a very strong social media presence, and I'm always posting up short videos working with various athletes or short videos of athletes working out in my gym.
That's great, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Ron. I've had a great time. I really appreciate it.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.